the other thing that I look at with pastors is not, you know, where they are personally, which is the first thing they have to get together. But if they are where they need to be, then how aware are they of the other individuals within their church being where they should be with their giving? Do they know the donor records of their congregation? There is frankly no excuse for a pastor not to know where his or her support is coming from in the life of an organization they're responsible for. And it is easily the single biggest factor, I believe, that can give you a glimpse into what's happening with one soul. So why have they chosen not to know?
And you get some pushback from that, and I can suspect that some churches are rather proud to be able to say, our pastor is concentrating 100% on ministry, and we as the church board are taking care of money. I can understand that some pastors may say, look, the sacraments aren't for sale, and I don't want to find myself spending more time with X, Y, and Z, or more giving them more attention than I do other needy people in the congregation who perhaps don't have as deep a wallets.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's two things you just mentioned there, Chris, and I'll address the first one first, which is, you know, are there congregations who sort of brag that we want our pastor involved in ministry, we'll take care of the money. I don't buy that. I don't think you can separate money from ministry. It has everything to do with ministry. That's why they call. You know, our ministry is in serious decline, quote, because of money. The two very well go together.
Or that money is not some sort of indicator of one's spiritual health.
It's a huge indicator. You know, I don't believe that someone can truly love Jesus and not give. I mean, I don't know how they can. I don't believe you can truly love Jesus and not want to worship. So, you know, it's my job as a pastor not to raise money, and it's not to build attendance in a sanctuary. My job is to bring persons into a closer relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, I can do that job better when I know more about those persons. So I need to know, how often are they worshiping? How often are they in prayer and in Bible study? How are they in service? And how are they giving? Because these are spiritual disciplines that can give me some insight as a human pastor. I'm not God, so I can't totally read the heart. But
you're working on that.
I'm not going to get there. But as a Methodist, we believe we're going on to perfection.
There you
according
go.
To us. But my job is to help them grow, and I need to use every diagnostic tool I can to help persons do that. Being blind to what one is doing in any of those areas, missions, worship, giving, is frankly refusing to use a diagnostic tool to help that person grow spiritually. So I would say to that board, frankly, I don't buy the argument. I don't think that's what they're saying. You know, very sarcastically, I believe what they're saying is, look, the biggest sin in our own life is giving and our love of material things. We really don't want our preacher to get that close to our sin, so I'd just as soon they not know. That's what I think is going on. And we have handed the keys to the church to those types of sinners for too long. And that needs to stop. And perhaps I addressed it when you were talking, the sacraments are not for sale. And should we be spending more time with those who have significant financial means than those who don't? And my answer to that is no. We should not. And I hope that wasn't what was interpreted from the book. The majority of pastors that I work with are far more afraid of persons with wealth than they are persons who are poor. And they stay away from them.
And let me stop you there, because I noticed that I noticed that in my ministry and knowing other ministers. Is that a trend, or has that always been around? Certainly, go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's always been with us.
Okay.
And because the wealthy in any society, or those of significant means, are a small percentage. So, you know, when a pastor is seen or spends intentional time with persons like that, their perception is that you're ignoring 90% of the rest of us, and it kind of gives us a good argument to justify other behaviors that may not be appropriate in our own life. But pastors were sort of taught for years to, quote, don't pastor your money. And the reason they were told not to do it is it'll keep you out of trouble. People won't gripe and they won't grumble and whatever. So be sure that you don't pastor your money, meaning spend most of your time with the wealthy folks, which if you're spending time where you need to spend it, they're not going to get the majority of your time, but they are going to get some. It's obvious from reading scripture, Jesus was far more worried about the rich man going to heaven than he was the poor man. Those persons need our time. They need help discovering what to do with this that has been placed into my life. You know, how do I handle that? That's a pastor's job.